listening to the Defenestrate Media Network.
The world's greatest podcast network.
Hey everybody, it's Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, because you know what's good.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends in the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird, Jeff Bell.
Good part of the day that you're listening.
How's your week been?
Fantastic. I had the best Friday ever because, like, there is no greater day than the Friday before you're going to be on vacation for a week. I just maintain that is the best day. Like, even leading, like, the vacation this coming week is going to be great, but nothing is better than walking out of the office Friday at 5 o'clock and being like, F you, I'm not checking my phone the rest of the week. I'm out of here.
Did you do that? Did you, like, shit on the desk and go?
No. No, because I have to go back to that job eventually.
That's fair.
After my week off, I have to go back. Mm-hmm. But I thought about it in my head real hard.
Sure.
How about you guys? What's new?
Me? Okay. Nothing. Nothing new. Still working too much. 4 a.m. to midnight.
Oh.
One more week.
How?
I don't know. Oh. It was easier when I was young. But now that AARP is sending me mail, it's more difficult.
Are you getting that free tote bag?
I don't understand tote bags. I don't. What the fuck do you do with it?
They're fantastic for toting things around.
I don't tote things around. I have a purse.
Yep.
I carry things. I will not release what little toxic masculinity I'm still comfortable with. I carry things. I do not tote them.
Mm. I'm just saying that it would leave your hands free to open doors.
So does my purse.
Makes it way easier.
No one, because you're hanging onto a fucking tote. It's in your hand. The purse goes over my shoulder.
No, the tote goes on your elbow.
Not doing it. No.
Come on, Jeff.
Dainty around. Next thing you know, I'll be in heels. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Just wrong with that.
I can't walk in flats, so
yeah.
I can't walk in heels either. I'm with you, friend.
I got the trunk organizer when I signed up for AARP.
Oh, see, that would be more useful than a tote. I'll
yeah,
be honest.
I gotta wait for more mail.
Except for my, my vehicle is a hatchback, and my wife already has her system, so. I think that trunk organizer's in a bag somewhere. I don't even know where the fuck it went. It's somewhere in my house. I don't know.
Oh, that's sad.
Because we only have one vehicle between us. So she pretty much, and she's the one driving the most. So I just let her do her thing.
I like that. And, system.
Yeah.
System. I have a trunk tote. I have a tote, trunk organizer.
Yeah,
and there's just shit piled on top of it at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
That's how it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a Costco bag filled with other Costco bags for grocery shopping.
Like then, you do.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, other things. So.
Otherwise, how do you carry your reusable bags?
Exactly.
I'm with her. I know what she's talking about.
You know how you carry it. You put them in a fucking trunk tote. But no, it's not going to be a useful item in our house.
I put them in the pocket behind the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
As for me this week, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
Oh, no. What happened?
So our contracts were up for for everything to get renegotiation, as you know.
Right, right, right.
We were with this contract. So the way the government works is you stay with a contracting company until they've run out of how long they can be a contracting company for. And then you get hired by a new contracting company. Never mind that the agency I work for has a policy that
for every other business out there that if you're a contractor for more than a year, they have to hire you. Apparently, it does not apply to the federal government. So anyway, contracts were coming up. I get contacted by the other contracting agency. They said they were looking to bring me on, pay me salary. I told them what my salary needs were. I told them I wanted to see a 3-week vacation period instead of having to roll back to 2 weeks, all that kind of stuff. And
right.
he said, okay, I will let you know. And I said, oh, well, I better spend some PTO, a day's PTO, because I got PTO on my old contract that it's use it or lose it. They don't pay it out at the end when the contract ends.
Right.
So I was like, I better use that. So Monday, I took Monday off. Tuesday, I haven't heard from them. And I've still got about 5 hours left. I'm trying to decide what day I want to take that time off with. And I'm like, and something told me in the back of my head said, you better fucking check before you take any more time off. So I texted the guy, said, hey, what's the status on the contract? I don't hear anything. I did that on Friday. Hey, what's the status? Am I going to see an offer letter soon? Don't hear anything. So Tuesday I said, you need to tell me if I'm going to get an offer letter or what? Because part of the deal was with this new contract, the old contracting agency that I've been with gets to subcontract like 10 of the positions that we have with
okay.
the new agency. So they were bringing me onto the main contract originally. Then I get the text back from the guy. Oh, sorry. So-and-so from the other contracting company was supposed to reach out to you. We're not going to be bringing you on. We're going to keep you there. Now, that other contract had capped me. They told me that I was at the maximum amount I could make for my job, despite my 20 years experience in the field, despite the fact that I was doing jobs that they would have to hire two other people to do the work that I do. They were keeping me on the contract. So I reach out to the other guy and I talked to him. I said, look, I haven't seen a raise in 3 years. He goes, I know. He said, the best I can do is a dollar more an hour. And I'm like, he says, but the other thing I can do is we have other work, so I can give you side jobs that we just pay you $10.99 with. And I'm like, oh, so I get to work more to finally get up to the salary level I'm supposed to have. I see how this fucking goes.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm like, I was not happy the rest of the week, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
I was quite disgruntled. Fortunately, I work from home, so I didn't have to go into the office being disgruntled. I could be disgruntled in the privacy of my home office.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Don't have to take that shit to work with me. But yeah, just that's it. And then we hit the end of March without shipping issue 3. Because we're behind on the artwork. So, because Greg's, is being courted by DC Comics.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I sent an email yesterday because Andy had reached out to me saying, hey, you still want me to do the letters? I'm like, yeah, please. Yes, absolutely. I sent you a link to the drive months ago. He's like, yeah, you'll have to resend that. So I sent him the link. I said, you could probably get started. We got about half the pages colored. That's the other problem is the colorist is only halfway through the book at this point. And I'm like, okay. So I sent an email out saying, please let me know if you can't get this done by the end of April. Please let me know.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
This is getting crazy. So, and that's been my week. Yay.
Ugh.
And I tell you, whenever I take a week's vacation, I usually have to spend the entire day Friday making sure everything is buttoned up and that everybody knows what they need to do while I'm gone.
Yeah.
I kind of have to do that.
Yeah. And it makes as you walk out the door that Friday, you walk out like you've just run a fucking marathon.
True.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, I can't wait for this vacation. And no, I'm not answering my phone or taking texts.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. My work cell phone is upstairs, turned off. That's not right. Even look at it. If they absolutely need an answer from me, they know how to get a hold of me, unfortunately. But they also know not to abuse that because I am very protective of my time.
Pebbles at her window.
Yep. That's how they do it. Throw pebbles at the window.
No, I sleep in the basement. You just have to like knock on the window.
Yep.
Oh,
well,
goodness.
On those cheery notes, let's head on to the news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Estelle Harris has passed away. Toy Story's Mrs. Potato Head. And she was on some show named Seinfeld I never watched.
Oh, Seinfeld. Estelle. Yeah.
Yeah, she passed away at 93 years old, just a few weeks before her 94th birthday. Mm. I'm guessing old age, since it doesn't really say.
Yeah, yeah, it probably. That's my guess as well.
Yeah.
Her body just was tired.
Yeah, but holy shit, did she have a Futurama, Looney Tunes, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, iCarly, ER, Mind of Mencia, Phil of the Future, Dave the Barbarian, Kim Possible, The Proud Family, House of Mouse, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Godzilla the Series, The Wild Thornberrys, Hercules, Sybil, Living Single, Moesha, The Mask, Nightstand, Star Trek Voyager, The Tick, Aladdin, Good Advice, Mad About You, Married with Children, and Night Court.
Right. Like, and she was in everything at some point
just
or another.
Some of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
Well, her and Jerry.
Seinfeld?
No. No, the other
Stiller.
One. Stiller. Jerry Stiller.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, just they got cast together to play George's parents. They were fantastic in the role. I mean, you never saw two more unpleasant individuals in your life, and that was the way they played it. But on top of it, there was this whole thing where you just knew them both from all kinds of shit you'd seen, you know, in the 70s and 80s and even back into the 60s, for those of us old enough to remember some of that stuff, or who had, TV Land back when TV Land was a thing. But yeah, I was like, it was one of those moments, because like the two character actors who played Seinfeld's parents, I didn't know them. Didn't know him from anything, but when they cast Estelle Harris and Jerry Stiller, I was like, oh wow, well done, hello.
Award-winning porn star Raven Alexa has passed away at the age of 35. The adult entertainer died last week from a fatal infection she contracted while battling Crohn's disease. Very sad. She had talent. Yeah, extreme complications to her health condition. Crohn's didn't kill her, but a complication from Crohn's did.
Hmm.
Sad.
I don't know much about Crohn's, so.
It's bad. You don't want it.
I know it's bad, so that's about all I know about it.
Yeah.
Bob Saget was left out of the Oscars In Memoriam tribute.
Why? That's the thing I don't get, is why?
Well, the only thing I can come up with, since the article is just, again, word salad, is he's mostly TV. I don't think of Bob Saget. I know he did movie parts.
Yeah.
True.
You know, but those were usually smaller roles or cameos or shitty movies. Mm-hmm. So I think of him more as a TV guy.
I think the one that upset me more than Saget was DeForest Kelly. Mm-hmm. 'Cause he'd had a long, motion picture career before he ever did Star Trek. And then Star Trek was bigger in the movies than it ever was with television, obviously. So,
right.
And they left him out, and I was like, oh, you don't get to do that.
So Bruce Willis has aphasia, and the Razzies have rescinded their Bruce Willis award this year upon realizing that perhaps Hollywood has been taking advantage of a very sick man.
Mm.
But yeah, they put out a statement saying, after much thought and consideration, the Razzies have made the decision to rescind the Razzie Award given to Bruce Willis due to his recent disclosed diagnosis. If someone's medical condition is a factor in their decision making and or their performance, we acknowledge that it is not appropriate to give them a Razzie.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, the Willis family, including former wife Demi Moore, said in a joint statement that the actor would be taking a break from acting due to his medical condition. Even Kevin Smith apologized for telling stories of what a douchebag Bruce Willis could be.
Right.
Because apparently he could be.
It's curious to me, though, because you don't typically see aphasia on its own. You usually see that related to a brain condition, a stroke, a tumor, a something, something. I mean, I guess it could be, but it's just interesting to me. And I couldn't, I dug into that and couldn't find anything more about it other than he has aphasia.
I was just figuring that it was caused by long exposure to Cybill Shepherd, but
that could be.
What do I
know? That could happen. That could happen.
I didn't go to medical school.
Yeah, the idea that somebody's like, you know, like Kevin Smith saying, well, what a douchebag he was. But in reality, you know, here's this guy who's battling this, you know, he can't say the right word. So it looks like he's dropping his lines or he's forgetting his lines or something. And you have to do so many takes just to get the lines right, especially if you're a writer director like Smith is. And it's like, no, he can't find the word. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
But being able to find words, the cast of SG-1 is returning for another AI table read for Stargate, and Richard Dean Anderson will be joining his fellow castmates for the follow-up to last fall's event.
Nice.
Nice.
That means I will actually pay attention to this one, because as much as I love Amanda Tapping, I didn't care about the last one. I was actually surprised that it already happened.
Fair enough.
Ezra Miller has been arrested in Hawaii following, a complete drunken mental fucking breakdown.
Yeah. Gosh, this poor man.
Yeah, he reportedly threatened to kill a couple. He's been hit with a restraining order. He, according to the court document, he burst into the couple's bedroom and is quoted as saying, "I will bury you and your slut wife." The order also states Ezra Miller is famous and wealthy. This makes access to weapons much easier, as well as sending associates to harass the couple.
This was probably what was written up in the arrest report and the restraining order itself.
Yeah. And, of course, Bleeding Cool blamed all of DC's delays on Ezra Miller, even though this happened after they were delayed.
Right. the filming's been done for a while. It's not his fault.
Yeah. I just want Ezra Miller to find the help that he needs.
Yeah,
clearly.
I'm worried about him. He needs some help.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's a cry for help, the way he's abusing substances, the way that we've seen on this show. So, yeah.
Right.
We'll be talking about this a little later in the show because of how fucking awesome it was. Oh, my God, how awesome it was. But
awesome
Oscar
was,
Isaac
yes.
Has a Marvel contract that only includes Moon Knight. He doesn't have what he called the golden handcuffs of having to appear in other things, which is great for him to a point.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
And
because if they need him in something, they have to renegotiate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't have to contractually return to the MCU, but he can. And I hope he does. Because that episode was balls. That was great.
Just one episode, and I was like, "Oh, yep."
Right. But the article, I mean, it made it sound like he is willing to come back.
Oh, sure.
And maybe even wants to. But I am glad for him that he just has the contract for this.
Yeah, I think he negotiated it based on a couple of other things that I saw because of how wonky Star Wars went.
Yeah. Oh, that could be. Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, peers of his getting, like ScarJo, getting screwed.
True.
Because they did things, they did some unethical things to and then violated the contract in their own way.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I would just say, yeah, just pay me for the work I'm going to do. The over-under after it sells is not something I'm interested in because it's a TV series, but yeah.
But Moon Knight is getting review bombed for acknowledging the Armenian genocide. To which I say, if you don't want people bringing up your genocide, don't genocide.
I didn't even know that that was a controversial thing until this article. I was not aware that we weren't supposed to be aware of the Armenian genocide. Apparently, I didn't know that.
For over a century, Turkey has denied that this ever happened.
Where did all those Armenians go, Turkey?
they were the original screaming fake news people. For 100 years, they scream fake news anytime anybody brings up the Armenian genocide. And yet, there's plenty of historical evidence to show there was an Armenian genocide committed by the Ottoman Empire, which
would,
is what...
Would they prefer we call it mass murder?
I guess.
I mean, because, again, one day there was a bunch of Armenians, and then there wasn't. And there's Turkey standing with bloodied hands.
Yep.
Just saying,
pal. So, if you're one of those who pays attention to such things as Rotten Tomatoes scores and that... Turkey has tried to kill the show with bad Rotten Tomatoes scores. That's why. So you can watch the show. It's fucking amazing. Yeah.
Chris Pine piped up and said he thinks that Star Trek shouldn't be competing with Marvel. I couldn't agree with him more. They're different. Right. They're absolutely different. But he said we always tried to get the huge international market. It was always about making the $1 billion. It was always this billion-dollar mark because Marvel was making a billion. We struggled with it because Star Trek, for whatever reason, its core audience is rabid, like rabid, as you know. Yeah, okay, fine, I'm rabid. Kiss my ass. to get those people interested, maybe Star Wars fans or think Star Trek is not cool or whatever, we've definitely done a good job, but not the billion-dollar kind of job that they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a $1 billion franchise. It's a $500 million franchise, and they've nailed it every fucking time.
Yeah. Right.
So.
And Star Trek Beyond was my favorite of the three movies.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan. I mean, I'm a long-suffering fan of Star Trek. And I'm like, this was one of the best ones they'd done. Because the other two, I could tell, were trying to say, hey, see? We're just as good as the Marvel and the Star Wars. And I'm like, don't do that.
You're different. Just,
yeah. Serve the fans. Serve the fans and we'll be happy.
Yep. Right. And everybody else will come along.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's it for the news.
All right. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're talking the moving pictures.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit getvaccineanswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Wonder. We can share a love divine.
Hi, I'm Adrian Paul, and I'm listening to Hold 322, the world's greatest podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture.
So what have you guys been watching this week that wasn't Moon Knight?
I finished Pam and Tommy, which... was delight. It was so well done. Like, I cannot get over how well done the show was, what a good commentary it was. One of the character, so Rand, who stole the tape and initially distributed the tape, he's couch surfing with his ex. Well, it's his current wife, but they've been trying to get divorced. That's a long story. At any rate, he goes, I don't understand why you're so upset about porn. And she goes, it's not porn. It was not consensual to release. That makes it not porn.
Yep.
And that's why. And that's like that line right there was just amazing and brought back again to reality that she didn't consent to that. She did. So I had said last week that it appeared that she didn't know that the tape was being made, but as the show went on, she did know the tape was being made. She knew of it, that it was made. So, but she did not consent to its release. And a lot of internet legalities came into play over this sex tape. So it kind of shaped the internet as well. So I still highly recommend it. Highly, highly, highly. Be prepared for full frontal nudity. Be prepared for swears. And be prepared for sex. Because... if you're sensitive to any of those things, don't watch that show. But otherwise, go to Hulu, watch Pam and Tommy, because it was really, really good. And then last night I watched The Adam Project on Netflix with Ryan Reynolds, and it was delightfully fun.
It's a fun little movie.
It really is. I'm actually sad that this one didn't release to theaters. I kind of understand. I don't know how well it would have done, but it would have been awesome to see it on a theater screen.
Effects wise.
Right.
Yeah, it was a really pretty movie. It would have been nice to see that on a bigger screen.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So go watch that. And otherwise, the only other thing I watched was Midnight. So what about you guys?
Oh,
Jeff.
Yeah. So watched Picard this week. Really quite enjoyed it. I didn't know that a tricorder could do that. That's new.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I bought it. I understood how it worked. I understood why it worked. I understood that it took
it
somebody.
Said so in the script.
Yeah. Well, no, it said so in the script, but, I got it. I believed it. And I figured it would take somebody like, Seven of Nine to do that.
Yeah, I'll give it. I mean, I bought the premise. I had a fine time with it. It was only after when I was like, wow, it's funny. All the Star Trek, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours I've watched, nobody's ever used
a tricorder to set off an EMP.
As an EMP. Wow. No, Picard was quite good. I like what's her name, the Irish lady, a lot.
I liked that. I originally thought she was going to be a guardian, and I liked that they brought in another classic Star Trek, Kirk era Star Trek.
Gary Seven.
Gary Seven brought in a supervisor. She's a supervisor like Gary Seven.
Yeah,
which I really loved.
And I'm so pleased she didn't have a fucking cat.
Yes. Instead, she's got spooky mind control powers. So okay, yeah, you know. Yeah.
So, you know, with all of that, the only thing that bothered me, and it didn't bother me all that much, was how much the relationship with the Borg Queen reminds me of John Crichton and Scorpius from Farscape back in the day. And only that millisecond at the end of the episode.
At the end of the episode, which was so cool.
Yeah, which I was like, Crichton!
Honestly, the assimilation wasn't as surprising, wasn't as much fun to see as just that moment right at the end. And I was like, oh, this is cool. This is going to be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the everything they've done with the Borg Queen this season has been amazing. Annie Wershing is just killing it in that role.
Yeah, she's where the hell has she been?
You know, she was in her first gig was an episode of Enterprise.
Okay.
Yeah, she was literally her first gig. She had just
short hair.
Yeah, short hair. She was a kid, basically.
Yeah.
And was like all over Trip the whole time. So yeah. Yeah, so she's that was her first gig.
I have to watch out for that.
She's just been doing a bunch of stuff, you know, on the side. So, but yeah, I like Annie. I loved what she was doing with this. There was this moment she was on Will Wheaton's Ready Room, and she was there live. She was there on the couch, and she said, "Yeah, when they had me up in the rig," and she lifted her arms up in that way, and she just kind of tilted her head a little bit and gave him a look, and you see Will Wheaton just go, "Oh shit." Because she just pulled out the Borg Queen right there.
Nice.
It was so cool. But yeah, it was, the rescue was really cool. Picard and the supervisor are really cool. I like the getting intentionally captured as part of the plan. So the blonde girl is the same. In case you missed it, she's the same one at the end of the last episode that Q was sitting across from outside the bookstore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I have no idea what the hell Q's up to. But
no, but his clicker's broken.
His clicker's broken.
Which is interesting, and I kind of like that he's still causing problems.
But it was good to see both Brent Spiner and the actress who plays Soji.
Yeah.
Yeah, in new roles, of course, but I thought that was good. I'm like, okay, now you just need to find a way to bring Elnor back, even though you killed him in the first episode or second episode. You need to find a way to bring the actor who played Elnor back so we can have the full cast again.
Yeah, but, as opposed to a hallucination.
I like the hallucination bit.
That was good.
I like that. That was really good.
Yeah.
Because it really puts you where into Raffi's head a lot more. And I was like, yeah, that woman's got a lot of issues, and that was not something she needed to have happen in her life.
Yep. I watched Halo, episode 2. I am still enjoying it. Mm-hmm. I still, like I said, I got no skin in the game. I'm not one of those people that has worshipped the game. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know if this is on target or not. I don't give a shit. I just am enjoying how they're playing it off so far. And I didn't think that I would.
Just seeing the trailer, it feels like a little like Battlestar Galactica. Am I right?
No.
Okay. There's just a lot. It looked like there were a lot of politics and political stuff, you know, like character interactions at the upper levels as well as down in the trenches.
Okay. So, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, there's some serious upper level military shit going on.
Right.
And yeah, there's a lot of good conflict there. And that's, yeah. I think what I'm enjoying so much is how much character conflict there is. Because when we're with Master Chief, I'm like, this is his storyline. This is what he's supposed to do. Go to A to B to C, you know, and things that surprise me because I don't know that they're coming. Whereas, mm-hmm. you know, with the upper echelon stuff, you know, it's fun to watch the development. I mean, one of my favorite lines was like a doctor took advantage of a meeting and made one of the admirals agree to something she hadn't agreed to in the past. And then later, somebody is honestly having an earnest conversation with the same admiral, and the admiral gets pissed off about it and says, "You know what? I've been used enough today." And I'm just like, "Yeah, okay, I'll take that." Yeah,
but see that's where I feel the Battlestar Galactica comes in, because you didn't get that sense in the original series of Battlestar, but in the new one. In the reboot, you had the upper echelon, you know, like Adama and the president, everybody interacting and having their machinations. And then you had the more of the trench level stuff. And then you had stuff that Boomer was going through on Earth.
Yep.
You know, or not on Earth, but on Caprica before they got back, and stuff that other characters were going through at various levels. So it was this. And even though they would sometimes cross over and interact together, there was still a separation of the storylines, which I felt it gave me a much richer world. And I think it's what drew audiences into the reboot of Galactica. But, and I hope this Halo is doing the same thing, because the only Halo I've seen had been an animated series that basically focused on, you know, the soldiers.
Killing aliens.
Yeah. Killing aliens. And,
yeah. We have killed very few aliens so far.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really paid attention to reviews or anything to see whether or not folks that like the game like the show.
Yeah.
But I like the show, and, you know, Paramount's already shot one season. I might as well watch it as they release it.
True.
You know?
Yep.
So, okay, you've got a big dump to do, and then we could talk about Moon Knight.
Yep.
So go fast.
Thank God for fiber. Kung Fu. This one was a lot of fun to watch. It was predictable, yes, but at the same time, it was predictable in a fun way. Like, okay, now we're going to have a fight scene. And now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. But it was just a lot of fun. Really loved the hell out of it. It's a good one if you're not sure if you want to watch Kung Fu and go back and watch old episodes or whatever. If you're just kind of interested in it, watch this last episode. It's called Clementine. And it's worth checking out. Superman and Lois. So the bad guy escapes to the mirror universe or whatever they're calling it, where Bizarro came from, and Clark follows. And then we basically spend a month you know, in kind of a scene by scene montage. It's supposed to basically, or we just jump ahead about 30 days and they say he's been gone a month. And I'm like, and he hasn't come back. And that you get to deal with Lois and the kid and the boys and all that stuff in a much more interesting way. And it was really cool. But no, nothing on Lucy. And I'm like, what the fuck? You just forget that Lucy drugged her dad and took his ID to go bust Allie out and didn't go through like Allie did. So where the fuck is Lucy? Shouldn't dad be busting her ass for what she did to him? Naomi, still just good. I can't say much more about it. Still just good. Although she did discover the truth about her parents, which I've been waiting for the entire season. The Flash, again, rock solid. This feels like first season stuff. I'm just enjoying the hell out of it.
Nice.
And then before we get to Moon Knight, we sat down last night and we watched Kenneth Branagh's Death on the Nile.
Oh, what did you think of that? Because it's intrigued me, but I haven't had time to watch it yet.
I loved it. Okay. I feel like Branagh was staging a lot of things, which is not normally his style. So I don't know what he was trying to do with that, you know, but at the same time, maybe he's just stretching a bit. But I honestly, you want to see some brilliant directing, watch Belfast. He directed that one and it is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Yeah. This one was strong. And I aside from having a few moments where I kind of got pulled out because I could see he was staging things and it felt like he was taking lessons from Baz Luhrmann. There were great Gatsby moments, basically. There were staged moments like that. And I was like, huh, no song and dance. So that part Baz Luhrmann wasn't there, except for there's a blues singer all the way through that was performing the whole time, which was pretty cool. But aside from that, just a great story. Once the first body falls, a whole lot follow after. That's all I can say. It gets pretty brutal. Death on the Nile is not a euphemism.
Well, I mean, I've read the book and I saw the old movie.
Yeah.
So that part wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I really enjoyed Orient Express a few years mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
So I've been looking forward to seeing this one. I just have had not the time nor the money.
What I like is they really take their time in everything leading up to the first murder. So you don't even get the first murder until you're, I'd say, almost three quarters of the way through the movie.
Oh, wow.
And then it's just boom, 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 boom after that. And I don't know if that's how she wrote the book because I haven't read the yep. Christie novel. But just the buildup was just so cool and intriguing and interesting. And yeah, it's a weird story. And I kind of figured out the mystery right at the beginning. But at the same time, you know, I enjoyed the ride. So
nice.
I may have figured it out, but the ride was fucking awesome. It's like getting on a roller coaster. You can see the end thing over on the other side. Ah, that's all right. I'm going to enjoy the ride. So, and I did. And then, of course, we had Moon Knight.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
I wanted more right now.
My wife was so disappointed that there was only one.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That the next night there wasn't another Moon Knight to watch, you know. She's like, what, there isn't another Moon Knight? I'm like, no, it's coming out weekly, just like all the Star Wars ones, all the Marvel ones have. She's like, ah. I'm like, oh, you really liked it. That's good.
Because
she's been lukewarm on some of the Marvel ones. She's watched them all, but she's been a little lukewarm. But this one, she was like, oh, man, I just want a new one. This was... So, go ahead and give me your guys' discussions of it, because I've got a lot of thoughts of comic book-wise from it, too.
Right, and so, for me, I have no comic book basis, really, for this character. Mm-hmm. I've not ever read Moon Knight. He doesn't show up in Daredevils that I've read. I mean, I've maybe seen him once or twice in different titles I've read, mm-hmm. But I don't have that comic book basis for Moon Knight. I went into it. I mean, it's Marvel. I the moment that they made Guardians of the Galaxy and I enjoyed that movie, I realized that I am all in and I'm a Marvel sucker, and they're going to really have to screw something up for me to be unhappy. But this blew me away, right? This was so good, though. I can't even pinpoint anything I disliked about it. I am so intrigued by where this show is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So what about you guys, though?
You know, Tiffany has no real... I mean, she just is not steeped in comic book lore at all. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a jock. And right. So right. I took a break from work to sit down, and this was at like almost 11 o'clock at night, and to watch it. She's like, "What's it about?" And I'm like, "Okay, so I'm not going to say anything because this character has wild mood swings depending on who's writing him. And so mm-hmm. I know some stuff, but if I say it and then it's wrong, that could sour the show. So what I'm doing is coming into this with just nothing. So we'll just have to watch it. And then at the end, you know, I'll explain what I can." And then we get to the end, and I she's like, "What the fuck just happened?" And I'm like, "Okay, so here's what's going on." You know, and I could lay out a few things and this and that. She's like, "You knew that the whole time?" I'm like, "Yeah, but I didn't know that I knew it, because I didn't know who was going to be who and where and what was happening."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I have a little bit better take. It feels a little bit more like Bendis in mm-hmm. in the playfulness okay. of the banter at this mm-hmm. point. You know, so I don't know. I really liked it. I think that is the best car chase scene I have seen in years, with the goddamn muffin truck, the cupcake truck.
And yes,
right?
Yes, I want more car chase scenes done to Wham songs. That's what I want.
Yep.
I didn't know I wanted that until I had it in front of me, and they're
right.
singing "Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go" in a car chase scene, and I was like, I am having the best time right now.
Well, and that's like the best way to describe it, right? Like, I had the best time watching that. It mm-hmm. was about an hour or so mm-hmm. that I just completely, I was all in that universe. Nothing took me out of it. I fidget, you guys. I'm a fidgeter. While we record, I'm coloring because I have to do something with my hands. And I could watch that and not fidget. I take a little fidget cube with me to movie theaters because I have to do something. And I didn't fidget once during that, which is a sign
wow.
that it was really
That's
intriguing
brilliant.
And kept me engaged. So,
so let's see. Starting out, meeting Stephen Grant.
What a fucking introduction.
I could see the setup. I could see what was happening. I got what was going on, you know, that this is a plausible deniability life that he's got going on. and it's like he could just disappear into Stephen Grant and that would be it. And even in the early, early days, when he wasn't multiple personality, disassociative, I guess mm-hmm. I should say, when he wasn't disassociative, there was a scene where he's talking to his girlfriend, Marlene, and he goes, you know, "I want to quit all this. I want to be Stephen Grant. He'd be able to take care of you and we could live a happy life together." Because Stephen Grant was the money. It was all of Mark Spector's ill-gotten gains as a mercenary being invested. And so he was basically the Stephen Grant was his Bruce Wayne side, his Playboy billionaire side.
Okay.
But it was a moment where he says that. And I was like, when Warren Ellis later made him disassociative, I was like, oh, I would have gotten it right off that. I agree. I would have gotten it off that one line as well, that I want to be this guy. And he wanted him to be him so bad that he disassociated to be him. Just everything. I mean, the Bendis one, it bothered me because he was disassociating a lot to be other people, not just the three that he'd always been. But this one I really liked a lot. And I liked how he'd black out, he'd come to, and everything, you know, people are lying unconscious around him, or, you know, all of a sudden the window of the muffin truck is busted out. And it was just these wonderful little moments. And I'm like, this feels like, I said, you know, it kind of reminds me of when they'll occasionally just do that with Bruce Banner. Like he wakes up and he's like, what the hell just happened? And then they do a flashback of everything that just happened by him watching a news broadcast or something of what the Hulk just did, you know, and he has no memory of it because it happened when he was disassociated as the Hulk, not as Bruce Banner. The little cell phone he finds, I think the woman that he talked to, and I think that the fact that she was called like a billion times on that cell phone, they've probably replaced the character Marlene, who was with him from the day he became Moon Knight, and remained as his girlfriend in the comic books that whole time. I think they've kind of replaced her with this other girl, which is fine. I don't care. But as he scrolled down the names, there was one other name. There was only one other name on the list. It was like her. And then Duchamp was a name. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ah, Frenchie. There's Frenchie right there. So we'll have Frenchie show up at some point. Frenchie was his pilot, basically. So Mark can't actually fly a helicopter, but Frenchie could. So, and they had the mooncopter that they flew around New York. And I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't draw a lot of attention, you know? This helicopter's flying around New York, but okay, shaped like a crescent moon. But, you know, comic books, they can get away with that kind of stuff. And as a kid, I totally bought it. But yeah, this was rock solid. I loved every second of this. Fuck yeah. And then all the stuff with the gods and the ending piece was just fantastic. Yeah. I like the mummification costume, you know.
Yeah, I like the way it wrapped up. That was good. I liked that the werewolf thing, whatever the fun is.
It was an Anubis warrior.
Yeah,
as my son put it, because that's from Scorpion King and The Mummy 2, I want to say.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
but it was fun.
I fell asleep to The Mummy last night, so I'm going to go with it was The Mummy 2 because that wasn't in The Mummy.
Yeah. But they're supposed to be the things that drag you off to the underworld. So, yeah. To then feed you to the crocodile if your heart does not weigh less or the same as a feather. Then they feed you to the crocodile god, which is what, what's his name, is serving. So
Ethan Hawke
is serving.
I was going to say, can we talk about Ethan Hawke and his look in this show? Holy crap. If he doesn't look like every cult leader I've ever seen on TV in the history of ever.
I liked his, it's not Gary Busey, it's the other guy. Nick Nolte. I liked his Nolte hair. Yeah.
Yes.
I liked his Nick Nolte hair. I normally don't care for Ethan Hawke, but this was a really
blasphemy.
This was a solid performance. Reality Bites ruined him for me forever. Yep. Ruined him for me forever. So it's been a long haul for me to like anything he's in.
I have very different opinions on that movie then, sir.
I'll usually like the movie and not like him. And this one, I loved him. So he's, something's happened. So he's pulling out his inner Nick Nolte, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the gang at the museum were funny as hell. So yeah, that's like the woman who every time she pisses her off, and it's like, I think she's been threatened by Spectre, by the Spectre version of him. But you know, he's like, look, you can't ever fire me when I'm Stephen Grant, but you can, like, you can punish, it's fine to punish him. I want him to suffer. So he gets stuck doing inventory and all this other stuff. I'm like, I love that. And the whole time he's like, he knows more about Egyptology than an Egyptologist. And he's like, I don't know what this has to do with ancient Egypt, but here it is. Oh, by the way, his accent's lovely. Loved his accent.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
All right. Let's do some news.
Gillian Anderson has signed a first look television deal with Netflix. 2-year term. So that's pretty cool.
So
she's been starring in the Netflix drama, comedy drama, Sex Education, which is about to come back for a fourth season.
So I guess the deal is if she brings something to them, anything she puts together, they get first look.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd be a good deal. I could use a deal like that. DC's Blue Beetle cast Sharon Stone in the main villain role. Victoria Cord, and we know nothing about her because they made her up for the movie.
I like the idea, though, because Ted Kord was always, he was the original Blue Beetle, and then Jaime Reyes was, you know, gained the power, you know, got a hold of the alien scarab, but he kind of trained with Ted Kord a little bit. If Ted Kord is her son who builds things for Kord Industries, maybe he gets inspired by Jaime Reyes and builds his own version of the Blue Beetle suit off of Jaime Reyes. And I think that could be an interesting twist to the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be.
I don't know. I'm just speculating, so don't take that as canon. I could write a clickbait article that said that, but I'm not going to.
Sure you do. You could work for fucking Bleeding Cool.
Exactly.
Exclusive. My thoughts on a thing.
Here's my speculation.
And if I don't get it, I'll write another exclusive about how mad I am.
Exactly.
Pretty cool. Disney Plus did an edit. I'm guessing probably an airline edit to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then uploaded that onto the main Disney Plus drive. And people went, hey, wait a minute. And Disney went, oh, shit, sorry. And changed it back to the normal one.
I think they were trying to pull one over on us.
I was going to say, do they think that we don't notice those things? Because there are people who are very attentive to those types of changes. I probably wouldn't have noticed because I forget details very quickly, but other people don't.
If there was a scene I really liked and they cut it out, I'd be like, what the fuck? There wasn't a commercial. What did you do? But yeah, that would be the only time I'd notice it. I don't think I would have remembered that he was bloody and his eyes were open when he was dead on the ground. I don't think I would have remembered that.
And maybe I would have on a rewatch. I don't know. But there are people who definitely notice those things and call you out if you change them.
And shame on you, Disney, for forgetting what your fan base is like. Because they've been like that with everything you do. Everything you do.
Yep.
I don't care if it's one of your animated features. I don't care if it's a Disney Channel show. I don't care if it's Star Wars, Marvel. Every one of your fans has noticed this. Why do you think you can fool them?
Right. I have to say, I was watching, and this has been a month or two ago. I mean, this is a little bit ago, but I was watching Lilo and Stitch. I love that movie. I've always loved Lilo and Stitch. For years, it was my mini-me. That was her road trip movie. She would watch Lilo and Stitch over and over and over again. So I've seen this movie and I've heard this movie a million times. And it weirded me out that they changed the scene where Lilo climbs into the dryer. For Disney Plus, they've changed that scene and it's not a dryer she climbs into. It's like a cupboard. And it's the weirdest thing to me.
Well, climbing into a dryer is dangerous.
Well, I know. And that's why they changed it. But for years, she climbed into the dryer.
And some part of me thinks that some executive back there probably imagines that, well, you know, they change things for television. They edit things for television all the time. You originally showed this on your channel. Your Disney Plus. It was originally television. Stop changing things you've made. You have your mature settings. By the way, I set that up. I had to go in and set up my adult access to Disney Plus, which was annoying. It should have just been automatic. My daughter had tried to do it on her own Roku, but she didn't know the password, so she wound up on PG-13 level. And I'm like, I'll change it. Don't worry. So I go to try to change it. Can't do anything on the Roku app to change it. And it made me set up the PIN password, which I'm like, I am not putting in a PIN every fucking time I want to watch Disney Plus. No.
Oh, yeah, that's
annoying. I'm not doing that. What the fuck? puritanical parents of America, knock it off. You're making it bad for all of us. So the only way I could fix this was go in and do it on an app on my iPad. And then I have to put in the PIN to get to access, right? I go to put in the PIN, and it brings up the keyboard, and it's numbers only. So I flip it to numbers. I type in the first number. It goes to the next one, flips it back to keyboard. I was like, oh, fuck you. This is the insult to injury, you assholes. So I get that in, go in. Finally, it took me a literal hour to figure out where to go to change all of that. There's no instructions, no nothing. I finally figured it out. Went in, killed the PIN on mine, changed my daughter's access, went in and set my son's and my wife's access to, regular, to just full, show us all the dirty shit. We don't care. Kind of level.
Right.
And I was like, fuck you, Disney. And not necessarily Disney Plus, because in Canada and Britain and Europe, they don't have that restriction. Fuck you, puritanical America. That's what I want to say. You pissed me off for 1 hour that night. I am also glad none of this happened the night I wanted to watch Moon Knight. I wound up doing that the night before, and there was nothing on, and I didn't have anything else better to do than to fuck around with Disney Plus. If I'd been wanting to watch Moon Knight, I would have been livid.
I think I didn't have any problem. I just signed in on mine and signed and got it all done. Mm-hmm. And I have several profiles, and I just gave everybody, every profile just got all the access
You must have had standard app access when you did it.
Maybe.
Because for some reason, the Roku app is different. And I don't know why Roku app is different from every other fucking app, and why I have to go through a phone or tablet app to fix these things.
I did it with my Chromecast at work. It took about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Roku's the pain in the ass, I bet.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's not Roku. It's whatever they distribute to Roku that will run on the Roku player, I guess. Yeah.
Yep. Michael Bay says Steven Spielberg told him to stop making Transformers movies. Stop it, Michael Bay. Michael Bay says, I should have stopped. I made too many.
Right? That was the best part of that article.
But then he says, but there's so much fun.
I could think of the early Transformers movies and about where Steven Spielberg would have told him to stop. You need to stop. You need to stop. It's getting bad.
But wait, and dinosaurs.
But he decided to keep going. Yeah.
Dinosaurs. Lord.
You know what didn't let him stop? Those bags of money they kept dropping at his feet saying, make another movie for us, make another movie for us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then there's a whole bit in there about Megan Fox that I just don't give a shit about. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I know I have an ad blogger. Ella Purnell. I don't know who that is joined the cast of Amazon Prime's Fallout TV series. Now, the reason this article has been included is because, oh my God, Amazon's making a Fallout series?
There's a Fallout TV series.
And they're casting people I've never heard of, except for Walton Goggins is going to be in it as well.
Who's that?
An actor.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain. He's Justified. Justified?
Yeah, Justified.
Oh, okay.
The fat man.
Yeah.
He was in that weird Western that the Coen brothers did.
Yeah. And he was in the new Tomb Raider movie.
Yep.
With Alicia Vikander.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I like him a lot. And mm-hmm. and that gives me a little thing, but... yeah, I didn't know they were doing a Fallout. And chances are we've talked about it, and I just forgot. But so last week, apparently Will Smith smacked Chris Rock in the mouth. And nobody will shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah. For insulting Will Smith's wife. Yeah. But yeah, he slapped him in the mouth. And I was like, and I remember watching that unfold a lot, not live, but because I wasn't watching the Oscars, but just on Twitter and on Facebook, just people freaking out and, you know, left and right. It kind of pissed me off all week. That added on to my week that I was just getting pissed about everything. I couldn't go to social media because something was going to piss me off. I couldn't go over there because something was going to piss me off. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want to talk about it if you guys are cool.
I don't.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. Like, I don't care.
I don't need to talk about one multimillionaire walking up on stage, slapping another multimillionaire in a room full of multimillionaires who are there to congratulate themselves for being such great multimillionaires. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I mean, I love the movies. I love all that shit. I don't need to get involved in the drama. But as a friend of somebody who has alopecia, you know, that was a moment I was like, yeah, I get why that would hurt her.
Yeah. Don't make fun of people.
Don't make fun of people.
That's not satire. Right. Obi-Wan Kenobi. The premiere's been delayed. But you get two episodes when it premieres instead of just one.
That was the only thing that soothed my soul with that announcement. I was so sad because it was going to release on like the 45th anniversary of the release of Star Wars.
Yep, but now they're going to wait 2 days because fuck you, that's why.
No, because She-Hulk, that's why. Isn't that the same week She-Hulk is going to premiere? So rather than dropping two new shows on a Wednesday?
Dear Disney, you know, we can watch more than one show in a day.
Yep.
That's true. What,
Ewan McGregor and Tatiana? I mean, that'd be a 2-hour power punch right there, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
We would be fine, you weirdos. Mm-hmm. That's it for the news.
All right, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're talking comics.
Hi guys, my name's Gigi Edgley and I play Chiana on Farscape and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shot Challenge, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Enjoy. As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you may be asking yourself, should I get it? Will it help get me back to doing the things I love? Like meeting friends or traveling? And can I do it without putting my family at risk? You've got questions. That's normal. So visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for the latest information on the COVID-19 vaccines. Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. It's up to you. A message brought to you by the Ad Council and the CDC.
Hey gang, Jeff here. This segment of the program is brought to you by The Nerd Store. The Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall in West Valley, Utah, brings you everything you need to complete your geek. The airlock to Epic, the Nerd Store at the Valley Fair Mall or nerdstoreutah.com.
We got a box! What is it?
Oh, you'll see.
No! What's in the box?
So let's do some comic book news.
Comic book news! Author Brandon Sanderson shared the wealth a little bit by running around Kickstarter being pretty fucking cool. He raised $36 million. Over 157,000 backers for his 12-month project with the four new novels, blah, blah, blah. Except four projects that were extremely not safe for work or slipped through Kickstarter's terms of service, Sanderson and his team contributed some money to every literary Kickstarter, with just a dollar.
Yeah. Made my March shipping date, I probably would have had a Kickstarter launching this last week, right? So I might have been able to get some of that filthy Brandon Sanderson lucre. But my friend Laurie, who's the anchor for Shaolin Nun, but also runs Unlikely Hero Studios, they've had a Kickstarter running for The Surgeon, issue number 5 of The Surgeon. Raised $9,500, by the way. Pretty sweet. But yeah, he didn't back them. So I don't know what he meant by literary projects, but
probably books.
Yeah, I don't think he was looking at comic books, but, he's a friend of at least two friends of mine. So I might've been able to convince him through them.
Nudge, nudge, nudge.
Yep. Nudge, nudge. Yeah. Nudge. to help me launch. Right. But yeah, that would have been fine.
The dumbest fucking thing. The dumbest fucking thing I saw all fucking week was FaZe Clan's Batman comic. What, you might ask, is fucking FaZe fucking Clan? They're professional Call of Duty video game players. There was a line on a panel where Riddler said, and I quote, "Riddle me this, gamers." Fuck you. Fuck you, DC. Fuck you, FaZe Clan. Fuck you, Batman. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Ugh. There.
Did they write a FaZe Clan thing? Was this like released for FaZe Clan fans? Is that it?
No, dude, this is on the shelf at my comic book shop.
Right.
I have 30 fucking copies. I don't know why.
Of FaZe Clan Batman, which, by the way, is a great rhyming scheme, FaZe Clan Batman. But
Yeah.
What's really funny is I thought they were a rap group. So
there you go.
Yep.
There you go.
So I thought it would be cooler, and it's even nerdier than I thought it would be. Okay, fair enough.
This is awful. I mean, it was just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Riddle me this, gamers. Fuck you. Piece of shit. Anyway, the article I'm not going to bother reading because we're going to move on is basically people online making fun of this piece of shit comic book. You know,
nice.
I opened it up and flipped through it and was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
As we are doing now. We are also roasting this one.
Yeah. Over the years, the pages of DC Comics have introduced some truly compelling characters, not the FaZe Clan.
No.
Heroes and villains who've become fan favorites in their own right. If you've been waiting to see more underappreciated favorites get the DC spotlight, something's coming up. On Tuesday, DC announced that the first details surrounding its 2022 Round Robin, which allows fans to vote on which potential title they want to see become a series. This is the second year DC's held the contest. They did it last year in 2021. And that resulted in a 6-issue Robbins miniseries from Tim Seeley and Baldemar Rivas. So.
I got a problem with the brackets.
Yeah, I don't like the brackets either.
One specific bracket I got a problem with, and I think you know which one. So, first bracket, Hawkman and Hawkwoman versus Wildcat getting a series. I would go for Wildcat. I haven't seen Wildcat for a while, so I'd go for Wildcat.
But we've seen some bad Hawk family shit.
Yeah. The next bracket. Oh, my. This pissed me off. The Question versus Constantine.
Come on.
And the Demon. I'm like, come on. I want both. Come on. Oh. It's even the Renee Montoya one. Playing kind of a weird, what's that Korean game? Creepy game TV series. But yeah, that was kind of what it looked like. What I was reading in their
log lines.
Yeah, Squid Game. It's like Renee Montoya getting involved in a Squid Games kind of thing, which looks wild. Suicide Squad versus just something with Justice League. Okay,
that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird. It's weird because it's like, well,
gosh, should Justice League get their own series?
Yeah. It's like we're flooded with both. What's the matter? It's called Justice League Redacted and something about Green Arrow. Firestorm versus Kid Flash.
Don't care.
Don't care. That's when I'm like, could you have put Firestorm up against the Question and Kid Flash up against Constantine? Then I could have watched them move through the brackets a little faster. And then Black Canary versus Green Lantern. I'd probably pick Black Canary on that one.
Yeah. Green Lantern having its own series already.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Ghost Corps from Hell, which is a Madame Xanadu piece, versus Animal Man, and I'm like, that's another one that bothers me because I would like both. I would like to see a Madame Xanadu comic, and I'd like to see an Animal Man comic. That's the Vertigo fan in me.
Yep.
Saying I would like those both. I'd like both of those. And then another Green Lantern, because we can't get enough Green Lantern, apparently. Versus Captain Carrot and his best friend, Darkseid. That's going to be the book. Robbins, oh, Robbins won last year. Captain Carrot and his best friend Darkseid better fucking win this year, because I want to read that. Superboy, the Man of Tomorrow. This is Connor Kent, so it has nothing to do with the new Superman. And then Cyborg, Cyber Gods. Sorry. Not interested in either one of those. So Captain Carrot better fucking win. I want to read that book. Captain Carrot and his best friend Darkseid. That makes me happy. I want to read that one.
Well, okay.
Yeah. That was my take on.
Yeah.
On that one.
Let's see. Terry Moore is teasing new Strangers in Paradise content. Says a spinoff is coming soon. Strangers in Paradise is pretty good. So
one of the best, I mean, he does it all.
Yeah.
I want to call it, in film terms, he's an auteur. So I want to call it an auteur book. It's the best auteur book I've read in a long, long time. Since John Byrne's stuff back in the late 80s. This is solid stuff. If you have not seen Terry Moore's work, he's brilliant. Fucking brilliant.
Strangers in Paradise ran from 1993 to 2007.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow,
that's
with
huge.
A resurgence just a couple years ago.
Yeah, he did a graphic novel.
Yep, he brought back and a new series featuring the main character. Prior to that, he'd been putting out other books that we then find out the next year that he has built into a universe and they all can interact with each other, and that was cool. So yeah,
that's it for the news.
All right. Let's talk about what we've been reading this week. Let's start with Joss.
So it was actually a reread for me because it got buried and I couldn't remember if I read it, but Ghostwriter number one. And I don't think I talked about it when I read it the first time. And it's in my hold to pick up because I was intrigued enough to be like, yes, let's see more of where this goes. Ghostwriter is a character I've read on and off in the years. So to see a new number one was kind of cool. So we'll see what happens there. And then the only other thing I managed to get read this week was Devil's Reign Spider-Man number one. I don't know where this falls. Well, it told me in the comic book where it fell in the Spider-Man title. Like it happened before or after this one issue or whatever. As far as where it happens in the Devil's Reign title, it's kind of just in the mix of it all. And I apparently don't follow Spider-Man well enough because it's a Spider-Man named Ben Reilly who is a clone of Peter Parker. So
yes,
those of you who have been reading Spider-Man, I bet you know more about that than I do. So, but I mean, it was good. I mean, he got beat up and then captured and then rescued and then captured and beat up. And, you know, it was great. He had broken ribs. He was sassy. It was a Spider-Man title. It was enjoyable. So that's a mini. It's going to be that was number one of three, I believe, that will come out. So that was all I managed to read this week, though. What about you guys?
All I had time to do was flip through fucking FaZe Clan, and that just pissed me off, and I didn't read anything this week. Between the comic book shop and the magazine, I've got no spare time. So I've done nothing. I've read nothing. Just enough panels to piss me off.
Let's see. This week I finished the new Wolverine Limited that they did. So you had two stories, X Lives of Wolverine and X Deaths of Wolverine. X Lives. So we'll start with X Lives. So X Lives somehow. Omega Red is traveling back in time to try to stop the birth or kill off Charles Xavier before he can do anything. So he's jumping back in time, and the only person, and so they basically, Jean Grey and Professor Xavier push Wolverine's mind back into his previous life, into his past, so he can stop Omega Red. And as interesting as that story premise may sound, it really didn't play off the way I thought it would, and I didn't care for it. Now, the other one, X Deaths of Wolverine, focuses on Moira McTaggart, who is, she's been depowered, which I didn't know she had powers. So that's how long ago I read anything with Moira McTaggart in it. She'd been depowered. Apparently, she has the power to resurrect and reboot everything. I was like, oh, well, that's an interesting power.
That's a handy power to have in a comic book universe, man.
Exactly. So anyway, she's on the run because she's been depowered using Forge's neutralizer weapon. And all of a sudden, she's being chased by this Wolverine that is covered in circuitry, which, if you know anything about the Phalanx thing they did back in the mid-90s, that's what it looks like, is that. So this Wolverine is chasing her. The first few issues are all just focused on Moira just trying to get the fuck away. Issue 4, we show how Wolverine wound up getting infected with the Phalanx at a point in time in his life, and how he's actually in control, but he's got to stop her before he found out she was the cause of everybody being infected with the Phalanx virus and destroying the world. So he's going back to stop her and put an end to her. So it's an interesting juxtaposition, because on the one hand, you've got X Lives, where Omega Red's trying to stop Charles Xavier from ever being, you know, ever founding the X-Men or doing any of his stuff. And Wolverine's trying to stop that. And on this one, it's like Wolverine is trying to stop. So the X-Men's dad is Charles Xavier. Now he's trying to stop the X-Men's mom from killing them all, because Moira McTaggart is the X-Men's mom. And so it was this really interesting way to go through these two books. But I still liked X Deaths a lot better. And the ending was really tight on that one. And I didn't think X Lives. I've never been a big fan of Omega Red, so that didn't help. But yeah. That was all right. And then Iron Man, number 18. Tony is, he'd turned himself into a god. And his friends decide he needs to stop being a god because it's not helping anyone. He gave everyone in the New York area his intellect. Well, the funniest moment of that was when Reed Richards, when he did it to Reed Richards, and Reed Richards is like, great, now I feel dumber.
that's awesome. I like that.
So anyway, Stark, his friends confront him in this weird intervention where they're going to depower him, and he kills them all. And Hellcat says, stop, just stop. And he and Patsy wind up going into kind of this weird dream sequence, which is beautifully painted by Medina. Just beautifully, well, I guess, illustrated by Medina. My God, full cover, full page flashback pieces. It's just amazing to read. And you get a lot. You learn a lot about Tony and his life. And one thing they did, which I thought was cool, every now and then they've got to reboot the character a little bit. They can't really change much, but they've got to modernize when what happened to him to make him into Iron Man happened to him, because this guy's way too young to have, you know, been in Vietnam and gotten blown up by a mine, you know. Right. Anyway, this one, you actually see as he's flashing back, talking about, you know, putting on this armor and then building the next armor, which was the gold Iron Man armor, you see him with the arc reactor in his chest, which was not a thing until the movie. So it was really cool to see the arc reactor, because that ties the movie in, ties the way that we did things in the movie into this version of Iron Man, which I thought was really cool. I'm sure some other diehard fans will be pissed about it, but I thought it was awesome. And then, you know, he comes out, revives all of his friends from death, says I'm sorry, and then depowers himself. And then Korvac shows up again, fully godlike. And I was like, shit. That's the whole reason he godded himself up, was to deal with the god version of Korvac. So Yeah, this has been, I mean, this is issue 18. This has been nonstop. There's been no break in the storyline. When this comes out in graphic novel form, it better come out in a big, thick fucking $40 omnibus because it's going to be at least 20 issues of this story is what I've gathered. Before, and then it, and then whatever fallout comes from this is going to be the next part, and they're still soliciting. So yeah, Cantwell here, Christopher Cantwell is going to continue writing this, and I'm glad because he's writing Tony better than anybody has since Fraction. So yeah, I'm loving it.
Nice.
Okay. Today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow is Wednesday. It's time to give our picks
you
of the week.
You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
What are you looking forward to this week? Let's start with Joss.
So I was digging through and digging through and digging through, and I found so many titles this week. Like, I hate that there are weeks that I can't find a title that I want, and then there are weeks that I need every title. But we'll go, just because it's easiest, let's go mainstream first. This week for me, mainstream, both of these are already in my hold. You all know what I'm going to say. Devil's Reign number 6. This is the culmination of Devil's Reign, the main title. According to the solicitation, it's going to have long-lasting effects on the Marvel Universe. Mm. Trust us, true believer, you have no idea what's coming. And I'm very intrigued because it does talk about that there will be no last-minute bargains struck between Fisk and the heroes, no truce to stop the fighting, and no mutual parting of the ways. So, Zdarsky has hit it out of the park with this one. I'm so jazzed that he's going to continue writing Daredevil, just because I love Chip Zdarsky, and that's all there is to that. But then also Black Widow number 15, which we have talked about may be the last one because they're not soliciting it anymore. But it is going to conclude the Die by the Blade storyline. So I want to make sure and pick it up so that I can finish that storyline off at least, because it's been really good. And I've really enjoyed Kelly Thompson on this. What about you, Jeff?
Marvel, I'm going to... I know I'm going to regret it. I'm absolutely going to regret it. I'm going to give the X-Men another chance.
Oh, bless your heart.
There was a time in my life where I fucking loved the X-Men. Mm-hmm. And I don't know... I don't have a trigger moment for when I stopped. But every single time I have tried to get back on the X-Men train, I'm like, oh my God, just give me some fucking Avengers already. And I don't know why. So it's probably
Chris
Krakoa.
Claremont doesn't write them anymore.
Well, that's the thing is I've gone back to read the Chris Claremont stuff, and his over-explainy dialogue gives me a headache as well. Mm-hmm. It worked at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we've grown since.
We've grown since. We now have a thing at the front of the comic book that tells you about the characters and what you can expect. Yeah.
And also, there's a picture where the words are that tells me what's going on now. Mm-hmm. We do that better than we used to. So, X-Men Red, I'm going to give it a shot. And then DC, Batman's Killing Time, number 2. Joker, Penguin, and Catwoman all decide they're going to steal something from Bruce Wayne's house. And mayhem ensued. And I want to see how that mayhem continues to ensue.
Fair enough.
So you, sir.
From Marvel Comics, Spider-Punk. Yep. We got Spider-Punk number 1 coming out. I think this is a limited series. Hobie Brown. And apparently this is happening right here in the mainstream. I don't know if it's in the main Marvel universe or if it's in his own universe. But he does get his own series. And I like that it's called Banned in DC. for 2 reasons. One, you know, DC Comics, but also, you know, Washington, D.C., because he's an anarchist. So, yeah, he's Hobie Brown. He's the Spider-Punk. And I'm pretty excited for this one. I'll have to make sure this gets in my hold, and I'll probably need to go in Angus's hold as well, Jeff, because I know he'll want it.
Yeah, they have the same haircut.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, this will be fun. I'm excited for Spider-Punk number 1. And then from DC Comics, Wonder Woman Historia by the Kelly Sue DeConnick with illustrations by Gene Ha, whom I met, and he's a hell of a nice guy. So
isn't he though? Oh my God, he's adorable.
And he and I are the same age. I just have more city miles than he does. So for me and Gene Ha, I would have gotten this anyway because I loved what Kelly Sue did with the first Wonder Woman story, the first issue. But to see Gene Ha's involved on it, I'm doubly excited for this second issue. So that's what I'm looking forward to from DC, providing it comes out, Lunar. And then for my indie pick this week, from Upshot, AWA, The Joneses, number one of five. Looks like a lot of fun. This is spinning out of the pages of the Resistance. Which is spinning out of the whole, mass pandemic that just killed people and then turned people into superpowered beings. So this is a family who were all, they survived the Great Death and they were all transformed into superhumans. But the world is starting to embrace fascism after the Resistance. And so they're like, we need to keep a low profile, or we risk exposure. So there's a whole lot of the Incredibles mixed into this in some ways, and I'm it looks like fun. So
right, that one looked great. I agree.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jeff? What's your indie picks?
Indie picks. I'm gonna regret this. But I'm going to pick up The Rocketeer, number one. It's probably because I still have a childhood crush on fucking, what's her name?
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, I got a soft spot for that character. I'll see. Hopefully it's good. And then Dynamite's putting out Project Superpowers. Fractured States number one. I liked that first series for Project Superpowers. So, this one looks, darker and more fucked up. So that's where I'm at.
Nice.
Darker and more fucked up.
Yes. What about you?
It was a good thing that I looked at what you guys had picked before I sent my email because I had to take several indie titles off of my list, but still had several to talk about. So
I was
going to
say, I left a lot on there that I knew you would want to grab anyway. So
there was a lot. So just briefly, Firepower 19 is coming out. This is the start of a new story arc. So if you have not been reading Firepower from Robert Kirkman and Chris Samnee out of Image Comics, please pick this up. The solicitation is very vague and very short. The legends are true. The dragon is real. The world is in danger. All this and introducing Master Shun. That's all you get to know, folks.
This has been an amazing series. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to 19 as well.
I am too. It's been an amazing series. I've enjoyed every issue. And then I also, from Boom Studios, I want to pick up Alice Ever After number one. Return to Wonderland in this twisted sequel by superstar artist and writer Dan Panosian. Perfect for fans of Mirka Andolf's Mercy and Luna. I have no idea what that is. But Alice first visited Wonderland as a child. Now as an adult, it's her only escape from a cold, strange reality she finds herself living in. But in order to return to her fantasy world, she'll need something stronger than mushrooms that change her size and is forced to resort to crime to feed her growing addiction. Will Alice choose to escape from her uncaring family and childhood trauma in Wonderland or find the courage to face her demons in the real world? And let's be honest, who among us doesn't want to escape into Wonderland most days? So I want to find it. Pick it up.
I can go on the record and say I've never wanted to escape into Wonderland because it's a creepy fucking place. Yeah.
Oh, man, I want to have a conversation with that Cheshire cat.
He'd just annoy me. All right, I guess that's it. Anything else, kids?
I did think of one other thing to mention briefly.
Yay.
I was gifted for my birthday a couple of weeks ago from my mother, who adores me. Neil Patrick Harris made a game called One. It's called One. It's a one-player game. I don't want to spoil it because you could spoil it very easily for other people. But if you are a fan of like trivia and thinking really hard and solving puzzles, you should go pick this up. It took me a couple of hours to play through. And it was just delightfully fun. It was just a fun little escape from my reality to go solve these puzzles. So go pick it up. It was a fun, fun game to play all by myself.
What platforms are you finding it on?
No, it's a board game.
Oh, a board game.
It is a board game. You go pick it up in a box.
Oh, and you play, and it's a solitaire board game.
It is a solitaire board game. Now, could you play it like with a group of people? Yeah, you could. You absolutely could. But it was fun to just do it by myself. So I highly recommend it. That's
sounds
all.
Sounds like my love life. Anyway.
Your wife doesn't listen, does she?
No.
It's fine. I'll do it myself.
It makes it easier sometimes. Join us this week on Patreon. We're going to pick up we've got a long one. We're going to start doing in pieces. Somebody has put together a list of the best comics and best graphic novels of all time. And they did a thing where they aggregated it. And so the order is going to tick me off in some places. But it's fine. It's fine. At least they're getting a mention. So that's where we're going to start that this week on Patreon. I don't know if we'll be covering it every week, but it gives us something to cover when I got nothing else to talk about. So we've got Patreon going forward. And as always, you can pick up some merch on Shop the Shows on thecomicbookpodcast.com. So go to thecomicbookpodcast.com, join us on Patreon, pick up a t-shirt, and enjoy what we're doing next in our after show. Until then, I'll say, as I always do, until the X-Men parents are in a lot of trouble, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
For Asgard.